Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church of Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. Welcome to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. My name's John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas, and let's start off by asking God to bless our time together today. Heavenly Father, we call upon you to just help us to seek you and to know you better. Help us to have a passion and a desire for your word, the Bible. Help us, O God, to search its treasures and to know its wisdom. God, thank you so much for revealing yourself to us in its pages, and especially in Jesus Christ, your Son. Lord, would you bless the things that are said today? Would you open up people's minds and hearts to pursue you, to know the peace and the joy that comes through Jesus Christ? And God, would you help us to be people that want to know that your way is the best way, and to follow in your footsteps is the most satisfying and joyous life that a person can have on this earth in this time. And so we ask that you bless this program today and those that might be listening, and comfort those who are struggling, and bless those who are scared and afraid. And Lord, just come alongside us. We all need you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, I wanted to share something with you that I came across this week. It kind of goes like this. Happiness keeps you sweet. Trials keep you strong. Sorrows keep you compassionate. Failures keep you humble. Success keeps you glowing. But only God truly keeps you going. I like that. And, you know, I like to, as a Christian, entrust my life to God, to turn my life over in every aspect to Him and know that He is faithful and reliable and that I can trust Him. In fact, Proverbs 3:5 says to trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll make your paths straight. I think there's a lot of people out there that are on some pretty crooked paths, and they're looking for answers. I want to tell you this morning, friend, God has those answers. The Lord Jesus Christ has those answers. The Word of God, the Bible, has those answers. And so here's one more before we get into the things that we really want to talk about this morning, about being sober-minded. I like this other quote that I found this week. It says, I still believe in amazing grace, that there's power in the blood, that He walks with me and He talks with me. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow, all because of the old rugged cross. Man, those are some great songs of faith and praise. And I hope that in listening to those, it stirred a desire within you this morning that if you weren't planning on coming to church meeting, I really hope and pray that you will. I pray that you'll get out of bed and that you'll get ready. You don't have to put on a three-piece suit or a tie. Somebody asked if the church at Las Vegas has a dress code. And I would say, yes, please do. Please do what? Dress. But we want you to come, and we want you to hear, and we want you to be encouraged by the things of God. This morning, I want to begin talking about a subject, and I'm not sure exactly how many weeks this is going to take, but I want to start dealing with some groundwork for a subject that has a lot of different application in the society that we live in, and I'm specifically addressing Christians. I'm addressing those who have made up their minds to follow Jesus Christ. Now, the things that I say have a huge impact on those of you that are listening that may have not decided to follow Christ yet. And I hope that they come across reasonable and sound, and that if you have any questions or concerns about anything that I say on this broadcast or any other broadcast, that you'd please reach out to me through our website, thechurchatlasvegas.com. And on the contact page, there's a way that you can get in touch with me and let me know your questions or your concerns. I'd love to be able to answer those as best I can. But let's go over to Titus. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 and starting in verse 1. Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. Now, right before this, let's back up just one verse. And if you want to go and continue to go back and read the whole letter to Titus, that would be great. But Paul, in addressing Titus, has been talking about those who are rebellious and are full of meaningless talk and deception in verse 10. And in verse 11, he says they must be silenced because they are disrupting whole households by teaching things that ought not to be taught. And so they are to be rebuked. And verse 16 says, they claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. Okay, I sure hope that's not you if you're listening this morning. I hope that you don't claim to know God or claim to be a Christian, but by your actions you deny him. Okay, there's no cause for that. And if we know that we are doing something that doesn't honor God, well, then we need to stop it. We need to repent of it. We need to renounce it. And not only claim to know God, but by our actions we honor him. Not by our actions they deny him. Okay, so he says they're detestable, disobedient, unfit for doing anything good. I certainly don't want that to be said of me. I certainly hope you don't want that to be said of you. Anyway, he goes on in Titus chapter 2 and verse 1 to say, you, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. That word temperate is the idea of being sober. Other translations translate it that way. Be sober, be sober-minded, that our minds be clear, that they be focused, that they be ready to respond to things going on around them according to the wisdom of God, not according to our own wisdom. Remember, I quoted Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. And so the older men were to be temperate or sober-minded. Okay, now, some people say, well, sober, that's the opposite of drunk. Exactly. We're to be sober-minded. We're not to be influenced by anything that would taint or cause our minds to be fuzzy or anything along those lines. We're to be, he says in this passage, that the older men are to be temperate. You say, okay, well, that's only for older men. Well, look at verse 3. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, and to be busy at home, and to be kind and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. But, you know, if more and more husbands and wives would act in this way, and men and women, that they would do these things, how much better of a situation might our home be in? and that idea of being self-controlled, to be sober, to be just focused and nothing that's going to hinder that. He goes on to say in verse 6, similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. Okay, again, you know, the idea of being sober, of being controlled, okay, not out of control, not able to be that way, but self-controlled, alert, sober-minded. He says in verse 7, in everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. He goes on in verse 9, teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not talk back to them, not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. When Paul wrote Titus this letter, slavery was very common in the Roman Empire. Now, not all slavery was the way that we think of slavery in the United States, anyway. And that much of that was kind of an indentured servitude kind of a thing, or if somebody got themselves in debt and they had to pay that off by serving someone else. Some of it was from other conditions, but kidnapping and the slavery that we've heard about in the past, the Bible condemns that. And one might talk about that in another program sometime. But God doesn't ever condone slavery. He doesn't say, oh, it's okay, no big deal. But what he does is that when this letter was written in real time, God's word didn't operate in a vacuum apart from what was going on in the world. And so even slaves that had chosen to follow Christ and that he was going to be their master, they were to be subject to their masters and to try to please them and not talk back to them and not to steal from them. And here's the most important thing, not all the negatives, but to show that they can be fully trusted so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. In other words, they too were supposed to be sober and self-controlled and to do the right thing. Look at verse 11. It says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify himself for himself a people that are his very own and eager to do what is good. In other words, the grace of God teaches us to be self-controlled, to be sober, to be temperate, to be even-keeled, to be a person that can be dependent on, that is influenced by the Spirit of God in their life, and no other outside influence, okay? That, and especially physical outside influences. Now, in all of those different cases, what we showed that whether it's older men or older women or younger women or younger men or in situations of slaves or servants, all of us are to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. If you go back to Titus chapter 1 and in verse 8, he says about those who would be shepherds over the flock, that they must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. In other words, sober in the way that they live. And he goes on before that, verse 7, since an overseer manages God's household, he must be blameless. Okay, not sinless, blameless. In other words, there's nothing you can pin on that person that other people can say, yeah, that's really too bad that he's got such a character flaw. Not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. In other words, those are the exact opposites of what it means to be temperate and sober and self-controlled in our lives. Hey, let's take a moment and listen to our first song this morning. And this is a song by Francesca Battistelli, and it says, "He knows my name." And here's one of the most beautiful things about knowing Christ and about coming into fellowship and a relationship with God, the creator of all humanity, is this. This is that once we were separated from God because of our evil behavior and because of our mindset and because we didn't pay any attention to God, we just lived however we wanted to, or we listened to the dictates of our peers or of our society. Well, when we said, "I'm going to follow Jesus Christ," he took up so many of those burdens that we were bearing, and he took away the guilt and the shame of our sin. And here's one of the most wonderful things is that God has adopted us as his children. Okay, he has chosen to adopt us because we have responded to his grace, to his mercy, to his goodness. And I love this song by Francesca Battistelli. "He knows my name. I'm his child. And no matter what happens as I go through this world, through the trials and the sorrows and the happiness and the joy and just the terrible things that happen, I can know that God knows my name. That he is able to keep all that I've entrusted to him against that day. That I can trust in him with all of my heart. And I'm so glad I can do that." And if you've never done that, I'd encourage you to think about that as we listen to Francesca Battistelli sing, "He Knows My Name." Let's listen.
Champion. In fact, I'd understand if you picked everyone before.
All right, what a great song. Hey, as we come back this morning for a very short second session, please turn with me over to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 7. 1 Peter 4 and verse 7, Peter says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray." You want to know one reason why it's so important for us to be sober-minded and alert? So that we may pray. So that we can always be in a place, in a state of mind where we can see what needs to be prayed about and we can do it. So that we can obey the mandate from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 that we pray without ceasing, that we be thankful in all circumstances, that our minds and our hearts are in such focus and self-control that we're always walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. One other reason here in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, he goes on to say, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen." Friends, I want you to know that it is a biblical imperative that we be sober-minded, that we be self-controlled, that we be people that are known for our even-keeledness, if you would, that people can trust us, that we're a thermostat, not a thermometer. We set the tone of what's going on around us rather than being blown here and there by every wind of doctrine and circumstance. We need to be people that know the will of God and that do the will of God. And that's what I want to encourage you to do and keep on doing this morning. And if you haven't done that, to begin that process. Start today. Start by seeking the Lord. Start by finding out who Jesus is and what he has to offer and why. Happy to help you in that circumstance if we at all can. And so let's listen to our second song this morning. This is a song called "While I'm Waiting." And before the Lord returns or we go to be with him, we need to be patient. And while we're patient, we need to be sober-minded so that nothing will steer us off course or get us to take a wrong path or a wrong direction. I don't want to be deceived, and I don't want you to be deceived either. And so let's be sober-minded so that we will never be led astray. Amen? All right, let's listen.
I'll be running the race. not easy, no, but faithfully I will wait. Yes, I will wait, and I will move ahead, bold and confident.
Hey, thanks so much for listening this morning. I hope it has been a blessing to you, and we're going to certainly continue this subject in the weeks ahead, Lord willing. Hey, we're the Church at Las Vegas, and we meet together at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. That's right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. We'd love to have you come and join us as we learn God's Word together, as we praise Him together, as we strive to encourage each other and help each other out through life, and just to be able to share in the joy of the Lord. So come join us Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, or Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. We have prayer and Bible study. We'd love to have you join us for any and all those things. Again, our website, thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com. You can find all about us. You can leave us a message or an email or a question. Please come and worship the Lord together with us. Thanks so much for listening this morning. Remember, keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. God bless you this week.